Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube. Come get some.
IGN Games Scoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Games Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined now by Jose Otero, Associate Editor Per Schneider, and Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
We're here to talk about the Wii U. The Wii U is a year old now, and now the other next-gen consoles, PS4 and Xbox One, are out. We have a little perspective on the Wii U. Plus, I just got one.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Well, so I recently got a PlayStation 4 and a Wii U. I'm not playing my PS4 at all. I'm just playing tons of Wii U. And that's not a knock on the PS4. I like that system, too. There's just not a lot that I want to play
just
on it right
Mario,
now.
Mario hooked you?
Yeah, I was waiting for there to be enough games. So now there's Mario, Pikmin, and Wind Waker HD.
There you go.
So I have all those three games. Those are amazing.
There's a couple other Mario games, too, if you get bored.
I know. Yeah, I know. So, I really like the Wii U, but things do not look good for this console.
That's right, yeah. Out in the marketplace, there's some rough waters ahead, I'd say. You know, if you look at they're trying to sell 9 million units by the end of next March, is that right?
Yeah, like the fiscal year.
This fiscal year for Nintendo, and they're not close.
And Nintendo President Satoru Iwata said a lot rides on this holiday season, sales-wise, which he directly said will determine what they do with the Wii U next.
Yep.
Specifically, like that platform, like maybe they'll 2DS it. You know, maybe they'll take away the gamepad.
Like? No gamepad? Mm. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, the gamepad is cool, though. I didn't think I would like it as much as I do.
Yeah.
So Nintendo has to clearly drive the install base, right? That's been their message. Every time they get Reggie on a camera, that's all he talks about. But it's true, and they're trying. I mean, look at this fall's lineup. Look at how they have these bundles that you can get pretty good deals and get something like New Super Mario Bros. U, New Super Luigi U bundled in with the system. They're also bundling controllers with Nintendo Land, since that doesn't come with the Wii U as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying to entice consumers. I think the weird thing for them, though, right now is, like, you still don't have a lot of games that prove why the gamepad needed to exist in the first place. And I think for some people, there is that awkward disconnect, like, okay, these are great games. Mario is a great game, for example. 3D World is fantastic. But the gamepad does nothing really for it outside of a handful of stages that you're forced to use it.
And honestly, I mean, I personally don't think that there is going to be a killer app where everybody's going to say, now I get it, right? And I think the advantage of having a second screen has been eroded over the last months, right? Like, you've got smart glass, you've got multiple devices that you own at home, like your iPad anyway. You have the 3DS with the two-screen setup. So it's not like, there's not this kind of aha factor and novelty that you had with the Wii controls, right?
Exactly.
And so I think they're going to downplay the gamepad. I think that's the big shift is going to be, they're going to have to announce some serious titles and support. Probably embrace their family audience more than they have, you know, in the last 12 months, and really kind of push ahead with cheaper prices too.
The problem with doing that is that then the result is a console that has third-party games, if it's lucky, that are just not as good looking as they are in PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Like right now, we could all be playing Assassin's Creed 4, which I'm really enjoying on my PlayStation 4 on the Wii U, but since I have a PlayStation 4, there's really no reason for me to go.
The solution is not ports, though. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. The Wii U is not going to sell because it also has Far Cry 4 or, you know, or an Elder Scrolls game. It's going to sell on the back of the Nintendo franchise. The problem is there just aren't enough to go around, right? Yeah. We just got a real Mario game for the first time on this platform.
Well, and will Nintendo go after third-party exclusives like they have in Japan? I mean, they've been aggressive in Japan. They nailed down stuff like Monster Hunter, for example. That's only going to appear on Nintendo platforms.
Yep.
At least 4 did. The Frontier Online is showing up on PS4.
Dragon Quest as
Dragon
well.
Quest 10, Dragon Quest, that brand also only shows up on Nintendo franchises, but those are franchises that are big in Japan.
Yeah, they sell consoles in Japan.
Exactly. They don't. They need like some big third-party only, Wii U only games
or
here in the
Metroid.
States.
Metroid is, I mean, the games are obviously awesome, but they're not system sellers. We all want Metroid, right? But it's the challenge ahead is, can you get software that shows that the Wii U is a different platform? It doesn't mean that it has to use the gamepad in any unique ways or really be that different, but by the merit of the brands that you can find on Wii U, right? Yeah. If all Sonic games are on Wii U, if all Mario games are on Wii U, can you find something from third parties so that they're not as sparse, right?
Yeah, like it's interesting because Brain Training and Nintendogs sold the DS. Wii Sports sold the Wii. Those are casual games that none of us would really kind of go back and play a lot, I don't think.
Wii Fit also sold a lot of
Wii Fit, of course, yeah. And there's been nothing like that that's been a success on the Wii U. Yeah. And they have Wii, you know, Fit for Wii U, but it's just you can't make the splash a second time with that kind of thing.
They aren't even doing many, like, what are the downloadable games? Like the eShop games, right?
Well, they've been ramping that up a lot. So Earthbound is a system seller to, you know, the 20 very loud Earthbound fans on IGN.
Not 20 loud Earthbound fans, but I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah.
I love Earthbound. It's, it's
you've
great.
You've got the Street Pass games, right? Like, they released a whole slew of games in one package, basically.
They're experimenting with free-to-play also. That's a thing that, like, we free-to-play, like, but with casual style titles like, you know, Wii Sports Club and Wii Fit. But it's a weird position. Because as far as the indies go, you don't see them going out of their way to kind of wrap up these really, you know, big indie developers or just any developers that have a track record and a name. Like, imagine a Cappy game on Wii U. Imagine, you know, some other studios. Like,
World of Goo was a huge success story last gen, and that was a Wii U exclusive for a time.
Sure.
And so, I mean, the challenge, though, again, there is that a lot of those games already have a home, right? Like, Nintendo could aggressively go after iPad developers, probably get a fair amount of those games on their platform if they offered really favorable deals to these guys.
And we haven't talked about Minecraft, right? You've always brought that up.
Yeah, Minecraft
was a huge miss by Nintendo.
That is a big miss. Get the Lego guys and the Minecraft guys to talk, and then you've got a great Wii U system seller, right? That is, Minecraft at this point is a family game, right? It's 10 to 16-year-old kids playing it, probably not our demographic anymore. But the interesting thing you said, you know, DS and Wii had system sellers. I more fondly remember the GameCube because of some of the great games that were on there. Yeah. Obviously, the other platforms are way more successful, and I could see the Wii U occupying the same space as the GameCube, where you get a few amazing games and you're happy with those, but you're never going to get this breadth or this kind of huge success that opens it up to
more. And as long as you have the 3DS being the big success, then you're going to be okay. I remember Nintendo had the three pillars strategy before with the Game Boy, the DS, and the GameCube out at the same time. If the 3DS proves to be the popular system that it is right now and also has awesome games, I'm actually not too bad with the Wii U kind of going away.
Yeah.
I'd be, although I'd like to play next-gen Zelda on any system.
No, I don't agree. I mean, I like a Nintendo platform in my home.
Same.
Right? Just playing a game like Wind Waker and realizing how brilliant this game still is to this date, right? You obviously want more like that. Yeah. And then playing Link Between Worlds, imagining a Wii U title of that caliber.
Well, and even like Super Mario 3D World is proof that Nintendo can make fantastic games in the HD era, you know? Like, it's not like they don't have a track record for that stuff. I also, to their credit, I think that pushing day-and-day digital the way they've been doing it is really smart.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The consumers who want that game at midnight on East Coast time, who live on the West Coast, can grab that game. I mean, it's really smart for them. I think their storage solutions could be a bit more elegant. Like, relying on like us buying hard drives is not really a solution. But to them, it is.
Yeah.
But we'll see over time of how that's going to work out for them.
I mean, I think that besides, obviously, the big franchise like Mario, Zelda, and let's not forget that Mario Kart is coming out next year. Mario Kart is Nintendo's biggest franchise, bar none, and the second biggest franchise, of course. Mario, the third biggest, Smash Brothers, Pokemon, all these are huge games, and you know, some of them are definitely coming to the Wii U. So that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
The 3DS launched really to a tepid reception originally, right? And we all said, ooh, is that system going to make it? And it did get this uptick, and it sold really well on the back of price drops and really strong first-party support. So I could see something like that happen. The other thing is, maybe Nintendo is going to get up out of the chair and do something like they did with Capcom in 2000, you know, what was it, 2002, where they announced the Capcom 5, right?
Yeah.
Exclusive games for the system. I think the choice of the Capcom 5 back then was not the ideal type of software to really get the GameCube to success, right?
Yeah, sure.
But like, can they maybe sign on an EA Activision, you know, like what if Skylanders was exclusive, or, you know, games like Disney Infinity, like more family-targeted games could be exclusive to the platform. We'll see.
So is going for the wider audience, the family target, really the only way they can stay afloat, you think?
I think so. I think because they have to, you know, this is
the brand is built on this, right?
It is older hardware. The Wii brand itself, not the Nintendo brand, necessarily sounds like family and accessible and you know, broad gamer rather than hardcore gamer. And, I mean, the lineup is not hardcore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see games like, you know, Batman, Need for Speed that came out. They're not going to sell that well out there as they do on Xbox 360 or PlayStation.
Speaking of the brand, I don't think the system could have a worse name to kind of attract audiences and stuff like that, especially when they're releasing things like Wii Sports and Wii Fit. I can't imagine how many people are going to get those games for their Wii holiday season
just
and not
as a mistake.
That
I'd love to see how those games perform. Yeah, just to see if it's catching on a second time, or if there's a consumer out there who's going, oh, I remember that from the Wii. Let me download that. You know?
And that said, the Xbox One is probably going to have some similar problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the both platforms, in my opinion, are going to have, you know, that first year is always a rough first year. In Nintendo's case, it felt rougher because you didn't see those third-party games. You didn't see Tomb Raider. You didn't see BioShock. You didn't see GTA, which was the biggest game of 2013, regardless of whether you loved it or not.
Yeah.
And that does spell doom for some people. It's like, well, these are huge, important, like, Game of the Year titles that you need on your system.
And that was the window in which the Wii U could have made those games look slightly better, or it could have used its gamepad to make the GTA map very accessible. Mm-hmm. It could have done stuff like that, and it is sad to see it miss out.
I still think those would have been a brand mismatch, right? Like, Grand Theft Auto, I don't think would have sold millions on the Wii U, even if that version was slightly better. I think the Nintendo Wii brand specifically and Grand Theft Auto don't mesh. We saw a Grand Theft Auto game tank on the DS before, right?
A good game too.
Yeah, it was a good game.
And like that system had a huge install base.
But did anyone want to go back to that? To be fair, to like, okay, it was a well-made game.
I don't know.
I feel like anyone at least from some people I know would look at that and go, well, it's kind of a step backwards, whereas you have these full 3D graphics on current systems.
Think about to an era of GameCube in which there is a definitive version of a game on the GameCube. And I think about Prince of Persia was just the best on GameCube. Resident Evil 4,
Time Splitters,
Beautiful Joe. Yep. There was a time in which Nintendo would have, you would say, you know what, I can get a GameCube because I want to play Mario, I want to play Zelda. Also, like these third-party games, they look the best. Sometimes they looked best on Xbox, sometimes more people had them on PS2.
It's true, but
the GameCube was a lead platform for these games.
But they still didn't do what, you know, those franchises did on other platforms, right? Like a very expensive Metal Gear remake on the GameCube did not magically turn that system into a premier choice for PlayStation fans, right? And I think that is the Nintendo brand. Just when you hear Nintendo, you don't think of those types of games.
No.
And I think they, you know, playing to the strength of that, I think Nintendo needs to go out and needs to get franchises that actually match the console's image, which... You know, maybe they are doing, we don't know.
But, I mean, when they announced the system, the sort of one of the promises that I remember being was, hey, we want the hardcore audience again. We want your attention again.
That's a promise to us, not really to their shareholders or the market out there,
right? Yeah, but I don't know. Part of gaining back that sort of a base is getting those third-party games. And even though you're right, there is sort of a brand mismatch, and Wii is totally a brand that is family-friendly and safe, that's still sort of a promise that maybe started out strong with like EA ports. And I mean, Assassin's Creed 4, to its credit, Assassin's Creed 4 is on Wii U. Call of Duty is still on Wii U. Like some big titles are making their way there, but they're still missing the boat on new titles that get announced, which some are escaping me right now. But I mean, something like Dark Souls 2, which has a hardcore fan base.
Yeah.
Something like
Tomb Raider, you know, the remake.
Tomb Raider
or something
sequel,
like that.
Yeah. Even Strider, the HD remake of Strider or whatever that Strider game is not coming to Wii U.
To be fair, I mean, they do have Bayonetta,
right,
which they picked up,
which
the
is
publishing
awesome.
Rights to.
Yeah.
They have X, which looks amazing, right? The role-playing game. So there's some games that are not exactly kind
they
of like a family
game. Ninja Gaiden 3 on Wii U at launch. Who would have thought Nintendo would publish a Ninja Gaiden game?
A great example. Didn't work, right?
Yeah, no.
So.
But it was Ninja Gaiden 3, let's be fair. That game had its share of problems.
It was not a great game. Analyst Michael Pachter has an interesting quote. On the Wii U, he says, they steadfastly refuse to consider that the product is not interesting to consumers.
Mm. Yeah.
That could be part of the problem.
I mean,
marketing.
Yeah, I think when you ask a general consumer about the console, what does the Wii U do that the others don't do? I think people will have a hard time answering. Somebody who owns it and has played it will tell you, Miiverse is actually like one of the most positive communities online, right? Like, I wish our comment section, like some guy is like talking crap about your jacket right now down there, right? I wish our comment section was as positive as
even
Miiverse,
when Metroid can't crawl. They're pretty friendly.
So I think there are very unique things on there, but, you know, to Pachter's point, it's like, you know, most consumers wouldn't be able to tell you why they will get the Wii U itself. Now, To me, though, the reason is Mario, is Zelda, is Metroid, yeah. F-Zero, you know, all the Animal Crossing, Pokemon, all these franchises that you know you can only find on the Wii U and the 3DS.
Yeah. And I think, you know, releasing Mario when they did this late in the year was a really smart move because you had two platforms at launch, but, you know, launch lineups as they go can be, you know, sort of hit or miss. You don't always get the killer app. Certainly, I don't feel, you know, in either Microsoft or Sony's case, there is a killer app for either of those platforms yet. That'll come over time, sure. Guaranteed. But putting out Mario drew a lot of attention, I feel, and folks are saying, yeah, Mario is not just great. Mario will be, 3D World will be remembered as one of the best Mario games of all time, I feel.
Nintendo's been around a long time.
Yep.
They've had their ups and downs, right? When they found great success with the Wii, it had been, what, 10 years since they'd found success like that?
Yep.
Yeah, maybe they'll scrap this like the Virtual Boy and replace it with something like the Nintendo 64. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think too much is riding on this one. But I mean, it's a good point, right? Nintendo to me is like the crazy toy maker. They'll you never know what's going to happen. You know what they'll come up with next. And clearly, out of the big three, they're the ones that were trying to do something different, right? Like the Wii U with the gamepad is very, very different from you know, the design of the consoles that have more traditional controllers. The Wii was very different. GameCube was the one time where, you know, they were really on even grounds with the other guys, but then couldn't compete on software like online connectivity. Yeah. They did have a handle, which was new.
Yeah, that helped get around.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a company with a lot of money in the bank. Yeah.
A lot of innovation, too. Like, when they do something, I mean, you saw motion control become a thing for the other consoles last generation, right? But everyone jumped on that bandwagon after Wii.
And it didn't work very well for
the other
guys, right? Like, so the Wii actually succeeded at something, and the guys who are following weren't able to do it. And I'm sure it's going to be the same, right? Like, with a gamepad, you will have functions that you always use automatically with your games, whereas, like, few people actually do the smart glass integration of the game, right? Like in Need for Speed where you spam people or, you know.
Yeah, off-TV play is awesome. I don't know if you've played around with it, by the way. I meant to ask you earlier, have you? Like, it's pretty cool because someone else can do whatever they're doing.
Do they just need that commercial where, like, Penelope Cruz is playing on her TV and then her kid wants to use a TV, so she... switches the gamepad and gets in bed and plays like.
It is a huge advantage. I think it's been lessened now that people have so many TVs in their home, right? I think more people have more television sets as they're upgrading. But it is still an advantage for families. And I think, you know, we kind of roll our eyes at the cheesy commercials that Nintendo sometimes does, like, Dad, here's a reason why you should buy a Wii U. Yeah. Number one, right? They're terrible commercials in our eyes, but, you know, for kids and parents see that and they're like, oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe their competitors have it right. Maybe something like remote play or off TV play as an optional feature versus until they prove what this controller can do and why it's important. I feel like the idea to make it remote play as an optional thing, which don't get me wrong, is more expensive, was still smarter on their competitors' part. Because at the end of the day, it's something you could cash into if you own those devices. If you don't, well, you're not losing anything yet from the gameplay experience. They just have not come up with a gameplay experience outside of Nintendo Land and maybe some games in Game & Wario. That prove what exactly the interplay between two screens can really do.
Yeah, but I still feel like none of those were features where I felt like, oh, I can never live without this.
Right? I agree.
That's what I'm waiting for.
That's the difference, right? Like, you cannot pull off bowling or tennis the way that the Wii did, right? Like, you couldn't imagine that game without this, whereas I can imagine every single Wii U game without the screen in some way. Like, sure, the map is super convenient on the screen, right? Like, you get so used to these things, but it's you could have a pop-up
map, or item swapping in Wind Waker, or there are good uses for it.
It's funny to think that the three consoles that are out now all have gimmicky things that came out with them. There's a gamepad, there's a giant eye that looks at you in your living room, and then there's the PlayStation 4, which has a little touchpad on it and stuff. But it's really the libraries of these games that I find myself basing my recommendations of systems on right now. And it's strange because this fall I'm recommending the Wii U. I'm actually recommending the 3DS if people don't have it. But the Wii U, just based on its library right now, and that if that can maintain through next Christmas, which is kind of like what the 3DS did, it got a good library going with Mario Kart and Mario 3D Land, and then this year just killed it. Fire Emblem, Animal Crossing, Pokemon, it just keeps on going. If they have 1 year like that a year from now, I think it's going to be I think it's going to have some staying power.
And that's where the third parties come in again, right? Like, if it's not about getting every single game that's on the other platforms on the Wii U, and, you know, like, it is weaker hardware, right? it's not going to compare favorably to the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, but it is powerful hardware. We're not talking about Wii versus the Xbox 360 and PS3, where they was, you looked at the games, you said, oh God, you know, you had standard def versus high def. This is a different story. Yeah. The Wii U actually will look really, really good for the next year.
For the right type of games.
Like you're saying, like Wind Waker really looks amazing.
Oh yeah. And we kept like the RPG, the RPG alive in some sense, the Japanese version anyway. I mean, Last Story and Xenoblade were two of like the best RPGs released in what, almost a decade? And that was on Wii. I feel like Nintendo
published those.
I believe so. Yeah, well, one of them anyway. The Last Story was someone else. But I bring that up because maybe hardcore genres can thrive and survive at least on Wii U. They just have to find the right way to position it or entice these third parties and say, hey, we'll co-publish whatever. We need to help. We need to help out to keep our platform going.
Lego Minecraft, man, I tell you. That's all it takes.
It'd be huge.
Lego Minecraft, I love it.
Thank you, gentlemen. We will continue following the Wii here at IGN, the Wii U here at IGN, and talking about it here at IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined now by Andrew Goldfarb, Marty Sliva, and Jose Otero. Several big game announcements, Nathan, today. Probably the strangest one, maybe the most surprising, Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
A Telltale episodic gaming series.
They're a busy company.
Yeah, we did not expect
right?
that. Yeah.
We knew they were working on Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Yep.
We were expecting that announcement today.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did get that confirmation.
Yep.
And we also got this Borderlands game.
And they have Walking Dead and they have Wolf Among Us.
Yeah. Right.
So they essentially have four games that they are working on currently that are coming out in 2014.
And Walking Dead hasn't even started. Like, that's
the
what's
second,
so weird.
Second season
of Walking Dead. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, they're, I think they're almost done with it and they've been teasing it's coming this month.
Where's the second episode of Wolf Among Us?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a huge Borderlands fan.
Yep.
I'm not. So I'm not very excited about this.
Well, I'm not either.
Like, to me, that world doesn't seem that interesting. And, like, the thing that is interesting about those games is sort of the first-person shooter Diablo mechanics.
I'm totally with you. I think that Borderlands has always been sort of a fun co-op game, but I've never cared about it for a story reason. I've always found the story is silly. I think the idea of Telltale bringing some, like, good writers, a good experience with kind of the heavy choices that they're kind of known for.
Well, I would say Borderlands 2 has some of the best writing
of
any game I've ever played.
I mean, I think Borderlands 2, like Borderlands 1, I agree with everything you guys just said, but after Borderlands 2, and especially after the Tiny Tina DLC where they made it more serious, like, I mean, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah,
Anthony Birch is amazing.
I didn't hang on to Borderlands too long enough. I gave it about 2 or 3 hours, and the writing just did not impress me.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing that makes Borderlands special is when it has good writing. Because I agree there are dumb, silly moments, and those are the moments that I certainly wouldn't care about in a Telltale game. I think Telltale can make something interesting out of that.
I think they can
find that thing that makes it a little more special and more grounded.
I really hope this game is very lighthearted. Because there are other three properties, including not at all. Yeah. You're not going to find a joke in any of those three games. Yeah. And Telltale's a company that started with games like, you know, Strong Bad and Tales from Monkey Island. Yeah,
they brought Sam and Max.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Telltale's current
Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, that's right.
No, and the look for their games right now, at least the engine, that sort of cel-shaded cartoon style, it fits.
Let's see what happens.
I mean, when did they? So Telltale, notoriously same engine. Like they have a lot of technical problems on all of these games. They didn't announce platforms. Like, when do they go next gen? Like, are they finally going to make a new engine for maybe? Like, what do we think is the final of those games? Probably Game of Thrones is the latest of the four.
I would assume so. Yeah.
So I mean, is that finally next gen, or are they still going to be PS3, 360?
Yeah. I mean, I think if I had to make a bet, I would say Game of Thrones would be the first next gen one.
Yeah, that
and
sounds right.
It would probably be cross-gen, maybe.
Or like maybe Walking Dead.
It kind of looks like the Borderlands game is farther along.
Oh, yeah. That's why I still think that'll still be PS3 and 360.
I mean, the Game of Thrones
just want to go cross-platform. current it would and
be,
last gen?
It would be nice if they did. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is that Game of Thrones, the way they were talking about it, and the trailer they showed was all text, mm-hmm. and when they were talking about it, they were like, oh, we're going to do something. Like, I mean, they didn't seem like they were very far in that at all. Yeah. Whereas Borderlands very clearly has been started.
But this is kind of fit with Telltale announcements before. Like, with Walking Dead, I think it was a postcard, and they just kind of invited folks and said, hey, we're working on this, and then you didn't see it for a long time. Same thing happened with Fables.
Yeah, with Fables. Yeah. So that announcement, it was announced alongside The Walking Dead,
yeah,
and obviously
right.
it took that long to make.
But, I mean, this is a very different Telltale. I mean, Telltale post-Walking Dead is mm-hmm. a totally different company. I mean, the fact that they have four teams is incredible.
So why are they different?
Because The Walking Dead won Game of the Year awards.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
They basically doubled the size of the company. Because, yeah. like, look at, I mean, pre-Walking Dead, they had Jurassic Park and Back to the Future, and they would get middling reviews. Like, it wasn't a company that people took as seriously as they do in the era after The Walking yeah. Dead, after yeah. Wolf.
It's funny
Wolf.
How yeah. Jurassic Park has been erased from people's memories, too. But, yeah. hey, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's good to see them doing really well.
Yeah, and, you know, Wolf Among Us, I think, was the important thing that proved that Walking Dead wasn't a fluke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is an amazingly talented studio. And so, I mean, I guess, yeah, I'm not super hyped on Borderlands, but I should give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I hope they're not overreaching.
Right? Yeah, like, I agree.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Do you think we really see all of these in 2014? They said Game of Thrones is 2014. Do you think this...
Did they say Borderlands is 2014?
Yeah. They did, right?
Yeah.
They did say that?
Yeah.
Jesus. A lot of games.
I mean, do you think it's going to be Walking Dead, Wolf Among Us, Borderlands, Game of Thrones, and then Episode 2? And like, are they going to go alternate, or are they just going to finish Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us first?
They make really good stuff, but they're slow about
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're still waiting for Episode 2 of
and overlapping
yeah.
series, like, we were already talking about how weird it was. Like, they've been teasing that Walking Dead Episode 1 will come out this month of Season 2, and then you assume that's being followed by Episode 2 of Wolf. But then if they do Episode 1 of Borderlands, it's like, by the time Episode 3 I would bet, Wolf comes out.
I would bet we don't see Borderlands until both Walking Dead and Wolf are finished.
Yeah, so maybe they'll do the same thing with Game of Thrones and Borderlands where they're alternating the way they are now with Wolf and yeah. Walking Dead. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's what is that game going to...
The next poker game's going to be weird.
I'm just trying to think of the Borderlands Telltale game. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. They said it's not Vault Hunters. It's wannabe Vault Hunters. So, I mean, the idea is going to be these people who are probably not running and gunning in that way because they're not going to be
sure.
super strong and, you know, able to kind of find, you know, the most important parts of Pandora. Like, these are going to be people who are just living their normal lives, I guess, or who want to become Vault Hunters. So, obviously, there's some kind of story potential there.
Yeah. And I guess the one good thing, too, is that The Wolf Among Us, I thought, really sort of elevated Telltale's ability to script an action scene. Like, the fight scene in Wolf
sure.
Among Us was actually really entertaining,
yeah.
whereas most of the action scenes in The Walking Dead
yeah. Oh, they were all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. sort of broken.
First-person shooter.
Yeah,
like the weird quick-time
yeah.
events where you're like...
Yeah, yeah, and with each episode, they seem to have changed with The Walking Dead, right? I mean, they tried one style and then a different, so they
yeah,
were filling
yeah.
it out. It looks like it paid off with Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, so we'll see. So hopefully they keep evolving that.
Yeah.
And they said in Game of Thrones there will still be battles and
yeah,
there'll still be swinging a sword.
But handled in a Telltale way.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of... like point-and-click adventure games, you guys are really excited about that new Double Fine.
Whoa,
yeah,
that game looked great.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's it called again?
Broken Age.
Broken Age.
Broken Age.
Yeah.
First half of it is coming out in January. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they announced Elijah Wood is
yeah.
the voice of
the male lead.
Of the male, yeah, the male protagonist. Andrew and I got to play the game a few weeks ago.
It's so good.
Yeah, we played the demo that they showed at the show, and yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it is a traditional, old-school point-and-click adventure game, but it is absolutely gorgeous.
It's absolutely gorgeous, and it's smart. It's modern.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, in a way that Telltale is still doing traditional point-and-click adventure games, and it's kind of, for a lot of people, The Walking Dead is maybe even the first adventure game they played, or
sure.
at least in
yeah.
some time.
Sure.
Double Fine, it's kind of interesting, because they have, you know, Tim Schafer obviously has this long history of being an adventure game developer, but that game has these very smart little tweaks to the formula that are really cool, like even just the way you click on things, and you have this almost like fast travel mechanic, and
yeah.
there's like, your inventory is like really smart, and like it'll flash when you can use it in a particular area, like it just like, they've streamlined kind of the genre in a really smart way, in addition
yeah.
to the art just being gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and that's, you know, that game is sort of that was the first huge Kickstarter success for a video game. And
yeah.
so, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that when it comes out in January for sort of like, are you going to be able to be as good as promised? And from what we played so far, definitely is.
Another thing coming out in January is this next-gen Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
the definitive,
right.
definitive
yeah.
edition.
Yeah.
yeah, the worst kept secret.
Yeah, that one we also heard about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Confirmed today, January 28th, I believe, yeah. is the release date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you all play Tomb Raider?
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Did. Yeah, yeah.
Will you play it again on your?
I didn't finish
Xbox
it, so I might finish it on next
yeah.
current gen, I guess, since
yeah,
it's
whatever,
out now. You know?
Yeah, this is.
But, this is.
But I will say the footage they showed looked pretty good. I mean, it did focus a lot on the action-heavy stuff, which is sort of. I always thought that was sort of the second part of that game.
Well, I think Marty said after they showed the trailer, it was like that was the most. Like they missed, they entirely missed the point.
Yeah, totally not indicative of why people love the game of that sort of metric.
It was all like metal guitars. She's a badass Terminator.
Yeah, like, what about the time you have to like kill a deer?
Yeah, she terminated a dude point blank with a shotgun during the trailer. I'm like, okay.
My lore wasn't that crazy. they said it's coming packaged with like all the multiplayer DLC, which I haven't really played.
And it has like a digital comic and a bunch of stuff.
I mean, I would like, if there was some new single player content, that would have been exciting. I agree. If there was even a new mission.
I loved Tomb Raider. I would totally play it again anyway, so just kind of, I'll just play a prettier version again.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because I was watching the footage and obviously it looks great, but like Tomb Raider and current gen look great too.
It's definitely one of the best.
It's also interesting that a game that, you know, at least a couple months ago it undersold its targets is now on next gen. I just thought that was really
interesting. That's probably a big part of why they're doing it.
Yeah, so a few more copies.
But you got to spend money to make that money. You're spending money to support those
rather than making a whole new game, that's certainly, they could put less people on or fewer people on that than they would.
True.
And we do know that they are working, Crystal Dynamics is working on a Tomb Raider next gen sequel.
They said they have a new IP too or something.
They do. Well, I think they do. I don't think there's been an official announcement, but I think
you almost just let that leak. Sure.
I'll totally play it again. Some people were complaining that it's still $60, but I mean, sorry.
I mean, that's just the way it would be awesome if, like Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty, you could upgrade for $10, but
Well, I mean, it's going to be like if they had released Tomb Raider Game of the Year Edition, like if there wasn't a new gen right now, like if this had been a normal year, like last year, and then PS3 360 version of Tomb Raider Game of the Year Edition would have been $60 when it came out too. So, I mean, like it's not that different. Like people do this all the time.
For sure.
And another interesting announcement today was No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah, yep. No Man's Sky.
This is the new game from Hello Games, the makers of Joe Danger.
Mm-hmm. Looks exactly like Joe Danger.
A big fan of basically Joe Danger 3. this is like a much more ambitious game than Joe Danger.
Four people are making that game.
Four people are making this game, and it's this massively multiplayer procedural like sci-fi exploration shooter.
Yeah. Keep going.
Like, seriously, I mean, I was writing up the news story. I was like, these are a lot of words. I mean, it sounds insane. It sounds like everyone is in this huge universe that is procedurally generated, and you're flying around and shooting things and all in first person.
I mean, we were saying it looked like an Oculus Rift demo. Like, if you've ever played the space shooting, like the dogfighting Oculus Rift demo, it looks like that. But, I mean,
they should totally get that on Oculus Rift.
Oh, totally. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they called it next gen. Did they say what?
They didn't say what platform, and they didn't say if this is 2014, like, I mean, with four, that studio has to staff up. Like, can four people make that game?
Yeah, I don't know. Typically, their games hit, or their cross-platform games.
Sure,
Or even on iOS. Joe Danger's on iOS.
Yeah, on iOS,
But it was originally PS3 exclusive, right?
Then it came to Xbox.
Yeah. I know their, like, the Twitter response was insane. I feel like that was a game that a ton of people got excited about.
Because it's just different.
Yeah,
I didn't think
the trailer wasn't like exciting or anything. But I mean, it's pretty and it's like something that's different. It's not a first-person shooter in the way that every other trailer.
It's not based on a property. It's not a sequel. Yeah.
Plus, people like the story of the indie studio.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I thought it was weird how they talked about it. He flew himself out here.
Yeah.
that kind of made the show seem kind of cheap. It's a little hard. I'm still trying to understand what the game is, like what you do in the game, how it works.
It's about
exploring space, exploring planets, but
it seemed like there was combat as well, like flight, like space combat.
Yeah. So he said there was ground combat too. He said it's always first person, even when you go down on the ground.
Okay.
So I don't think they showed any of that unless I missed it, but I think
I feel like they did.
Yeah. Maybe. I feel like you do have like infantry stuff.
Well, thanks, guys. I think those are all the.
I'm sorry. I don't want to get cranky on you on this program.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah,
there was some Nintendo Wii U news too.
No one saw this one coming either.
Yeah, most of what we talked about we've all
I think
seen
everything
coming.
But Borderlands leaked.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and the Hello Games.
February 21st. Yeah, 21st. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze will be out. The new character reveal. Excuse me, the character we wrote about earlier this week.
Re-revealed,
or confirmed, actually, was Cranky Kong. Yeah. He has a sort of a Scrooge McDuck, like DuckTales-type pogo stick, which was cool.
Yeah.
They showed two levels, which, you know, visually looked amazing, but unfortunately, you know, for a lot of folks on the internet, including a lot of people in this office, was kind of a missed opportunity by Nintendo, you know,
What did they miss?
Well, in terms of putting out a foot forward on something that maybe people weren't expecting or showing a game that is coming in 2014 but wasn't just another.
Reggie started talking about his Metroid pin, and I was like,
what?
Oh, no, he just likes Metroid. Yeah.
That's, okay. So that's the thing, right? Like, and that's what's funny about Nintendo. They did not have an E3 press conference because they believe so much in Nintendo Direct. And they put all of their stock into Nintendo Direct. All they talk about is Nintendo Direct. So, like, them doing this appearance, I never for a second thought it was going to be some huge megaton reveal because that's just not their style. That's not what they're doing right now.
I thought you were pretty excited and wondering about a couple things.
So my theory was that the most I saw it being was a new Smash Brothers character because they've done those fairly regularly. It's like almost like a solid 3 or 4 week interval. And this week there wasn't one, but it was time for there to be one. So I thought maybe they'd do it on Saturday instead of Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I still didn't think it was going to be like Wii U Zelda or like Metroid Prime 4. Yeah, like this isn't the show for
that. There were some crazy theories going into it. And I will say, you know, again, the game looks good, but unfortunately, it's also what we expected. And
sure,
it's just,
right.
This was an opportunity to just at least remind folks, hey, you know, Nintendo and Wii U are part of the conversation still, guys, and we have really cool stuff. And that's not to say Donkey Kong didn't look cool,
for sure.
But it is to say, hey, you know, show something big. Show something that's going to have people.
Show something new.
It's just going to have people, you know, evangelizing Nintendo.
Cranky Kong's not cutting it.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I don't think the reaction sort of justifies it.
I'm excited. I like Cranky. I love that series. I like the pogo stick mechanic seems neat.
I do too, but I mean, the Metroid pin just reminds me of how Retro should be doing that instead. Like, I mean, or some like a new IP.
Sure.
Like Retro doing Donkey Kong feels like a waste of their talent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You're a jerk.
I know.
Andrew Goldfarb, jerk. Thanks, guys.
Of course.
Viewers, stay tuned. We'll be talking a lot more about all these games here on IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me now is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Ryan McCaffrey,
Hello.
And Marty Sliva.
Hey.
And this week, Justin put up an article asking the IGN readers what games they're most anticipating next year, what 2014 games they're most anticipating. Get lots of interesting data here. IGN has a very large audience, so hundreds of thousands of people voted here. So now we can start painting a picture of the games that people are looking forward to in 2014.
Paint us a word picture, Damon.
The answers, may surprise you.
they dramatic.
They might not.
Yeah.
They might be exactly what you expect.
Yeah, actually, some of these are.
Tonight on A Current Affair.
We split it up by genre.
Yeah, they're by genres. So.
And we listed almost like every game that we could think of.
I did my best.
I mean, some
of
these are like, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I apologize in advance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's actually a lot harder than you think. Like, I'm making this article. We'll do a poll and we'll ask people what they want. And then I'd realize after the third time going through it, I'd left off Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And was like, whoop. Well, better get that on there. So I apologize in advance if any of your games of choice were accidentally omitted.
Justin.
We'll start with the action category.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the most popular genres. Watch Dogs, most anticipated action game.
Yep. Does action include first-person shooter?
No, shooter is separate.
Oh, okay. Shooter is a separate category.
Okay. So what is it up against?
So that beats out Infamous Second Son, The Order 1886. Okay. Those are the top three. So I was surprised that The Order 1886, a new IP, is beating out Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, that's great premise. I mean, I would have voted for The Order.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. That's an exclusive, whereas. You know, that's a Sony exclusive, whereas Metal Gear is coming to, you know, Sony and Microsoft platforms.
Yeah.
It's
impressive.
I definitely think, like, new consoles, and especially the year after new consoles come out, that's your chance as a game publisher, a third-party game publisher, to really break through with a new brand. That's what Assassin's Creed, I think Gears of War was 1 year after the 360 launched.
On the previous GameScoop, 2007.
Yeah,
the best year of Xbox 360. Yeah.
So I think 2014 is definitely going to be, you know, who knows whether The Order turns out to be a great game or not, but I can definitely see why people are hyped for it. It feels next-gen and new in a way that, you know, maybe Metal Gear Solid is going to be great too, but I'm not surprised to see it.
Rounding out the top five, before there's a big drop-off, is Thief.
Okay.
We're looking forward to that.
Action game, but okay.
Well, this is the thing. What do you want from me, Ryan?
Make a stealth category.
I had a stealth category, and it had that and Metal Gear, and that was it.
That's good enough. Those are good games.
Marty, you want to know something depressing?
What's
0.31%. 0.31%.
I don't know where this is going. Don't break my heart.
Of our audience is looking forward to Super Time Force.
You are
jerks.
You know what? That's Microsoft's fault more than anything else because that game's been for what we can tell done for months and months and months and it's just been sitting on the shelf Or, you know, Microsoft hasn't put it out yet. So.
Yeah, I got to play it at the Double Fine Day of the Devs here in San Francisco back in November, and the game is fantastic.
It's out like, in early 2014
on Xbox One and 360.
Yeah, both. So.
That was a smart move.
Yeah, it's a really great game.
All right, RPGs.
Okay.
Number one RPG, The Witcher 3.
Sure. Wrong answer.
Whoa.
Wow.
You think it should be South Park?
That's
number two.
But that won't make 2014.
That does surprise me. The Witcher 3 looks fantastic, but I would have expected South Park to be number one on that list.
You remember Witcher 3 won the People's Choice Award at E3.
And that game looks just graphically, visually, looks so good.
Yeah.
Incredible. I don't know what
the gameplay trailer is.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Redonkulous, as
the
kids
say. Way to go, Poland.
Anyway, Witcher 3 beats out South Park, Kingdom Hearts 3, Dragon Age, Inquisition, Dark Souls 2.
Sure. Where is
IGN Metrics? From E3 would have suggested that Kingdom Hearts 3 would have won that poll.
Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15 were huge coming out of E3, especially with those like reveals and
Final Fantasy 15 is in sixth place as of right now.
We were saying before you started recording that, you know, I believe in this data, I think it's good data, but it does skew towards games we know a lot about. Like Final Fantasy 15, that game's going to be huge when it comes out, but there's
probably won't even be 2014.
That's what I mean. Yeah. There's a lot we don't know, so it's like the game's coming out in the spring that people know what they're getting. I feel like they're more likely to vote
for. Yeah, and South Park and Watch Dogs are kind of... You know, we know a lot about them because they were supposed to come out.
Exactly.
Should have already played them.
All right, shooters. Most anticipated shooter, Destiny.
Ooh, surprising.
Right?
Correct answer, however, I mean, it's 1A, 1B.
You gotta stop saying that.
Titanfall.
I know, that's number two. I was surprised.
Yeah, Destiny, actually, how far ahead? There's a gap between them, even.
Destiny's number one. It has a 4 percentage point gap.
Okay.
We should say, how we let people, if you didn't see the poll, you could select as many things as you wanted. So you could say, I'm hyped for these 6 out of these 20 games.
Oh, interesting.
So. Yeah, so it's not, you didn't just pick one.
Sure.
But more people
did anything else even chart, or is it just Destiny and Titanfall?
Well, you know, Halo 5. It's the PlayStation fans out there didn't vote for, didn't check Titanfall, because they don't have an Xbox or PC, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. So, like, both Xbox and PS4 gamers could check Destiny.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Halo 5 is number 4.
And again, we know nothing about that. He may or may not have a parka.
Take that poll again at E3, and then I think Halo will be a little higher.
Well, set as a reminder for yourself to do this poll again in 6 months.
Set an iPhone reminder right now.
What surprised me about Halo 5 is Halo 4 was not well received. I mean, it sold well.
What?
No, but look.
About?
You saw.
You're crazy.
You loved it, but come on, man. No one plays that game online. The online community was dead same, weeks after launch.
But it was well received. Yeah, it was really well received.
Your phrasing.
I don't think
terrible.
That's true. I think
your phrasing is atrocious.
No.
If it got good reviews and it sold well,
it was
would not be well received.
This is not an unpopular opinion. If you look, people think that Halo 4 killed the Halo franchise.
I think you just
Call of Duty killed the Halo franchise. As far as online goes, but to say it's not well received is just,
I think the Halo community did not receive, they don't play the game, they stopped playing the game after
but they received it well, it just
so they received it well, but then they didn't enjoy it or continue playing it. I was just surprised to see Halo 5 so high. It gave me hope. I love Halo, and so it gave me hope that, man, like, I was worried that Halo 4, like, 343, really, like, I was worried the franchise wouldn't be able to bounce back. And so there's still a lot of interest in Halo 5, and I'm glad.
There's some aggression on this couch now. I like that.
Yeah, there is.
Halo 5 is followed by Rainbow Six Patriots, but I'm not very confident that that's going to be coming out next year. And then Call of Duty 11 got 7%.
We're calling it Call of Duty 11?
What are we going to call it?
I like it.
Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
Wopsy.
Yeah. All right, this is the adventure games.
Ooh.
The top three are all Telltale games. Walking Dead Season 2, Game of Thrones, and Tales from the Borderlands.
Sure.
Just announced.
Was Wolf Among Us not on there?
We didn't put it.
The rest of Wolf?
No, because it technically debuted this year. I left it off.
Yeah, so will Walking Dead
Season 2.
Oh, that's true. Good point. But it wasn't out when the poll
was live. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know that.
Yeah. What about
your poll?
Double Fine Adventure game on there?
Justin.
It's way down there. Only 4% chose Broken Age.
Well... At least $4 million worth of votes went towards it. So
we can hug later.
Yeah,
it did well on Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's good enough. What else? What other adventure games are on there?
Octodad is on here. Is that an adventure game?
I didn't know where to put Octodad.
It's an octopus game.
It's technically. I'll tell you again. This is one of those things where, like, you think, I'll put together this poll. I'll put together this poll, and it'll be an easy feature. Then I'm like, Octodad, I don't know what to do with you. And the developers call it an adventure game, so I put it in the adventure category, even though it's not. Point-click adventure in that way.
You will allow it?
I will allow it.
Thanks.
We may continue.
This category is online/MMO games.
Ooh.
Number one is Tom Clancy's The Division.
Sure.
If it makes 2014.
And if it can, if it counts as an MMO. This is another weird
That's
genre.
The interesting thing with a lot of these Ubisoft games that Ubisoft did the press conferences recently. Yeah, with the crew, they've been doing that. Even Watch Dogs kind of did that thing where the camera zooms out at the end and it's like, everyone's in the same world. And then Eve's head blows
up.
Well,
and you could have arguably put Destiny in here as well.
Sure. So
it fits in either one.
I consider The Division more MMO-y
I would agree with
than
that.
The others.
They've been presenting it more MMO-y.
Yeah. But the crew is kind of like a racing game MMO, and I'm like, I don't know what, like, genres don't exist anymore.
The Division is closely followed by Elder Scrolls
Online. An MMO CarPG?
Yeah. CarPG. Oh, my goodness gracious. That.
But then we got Elder Scrolls Online.
Do you get your Drivatars in the CarPG?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't like where this is going.
Ryan, you're excited for Elder Scrolls Online?
Yeah, you know, I've played a little bit at E3, and my, like, 45 minutes went by like that.
Yeah.
And that was before even the first-person mode had been implemented into the game, and I just love first-person anything in my games, and so, yeah, I'll probably disappear into that game for
I'm really excited about it, too. We were really worried, or I was really worried, because I'm excited about it, that the reaction was really, really negative around the $15 subscription fee. Sure. $60 game with the $15.
It feels very archaic.
And there's an example, too. I mean, Elder Scrolls, when it was first officially unveiled, it had been rumored for a long, long time. When it was finally unveiled, the response was pretty negative. It was like, oh, this looks ugly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily sound that great. Oh,
it looked like WoW, but in
it's not free
Tamriel.
To play like everything else is now. But over time, as they've shown it and they've actually gotten people to play it, it has won people back over.
I hope that game does really well.
Was EverQuest next on that list?
Yes.
EverQuest, yeah. So
it did
after
not
Elder Scrolls, there's a big drop-off with stuff like WildStar, EverQuest next, Phantasy Star Online 2.
Sure.
World of Warships, our audience, not interested.
Not big fans of Warships.
In World of Warships.
Or Worlds.
I mean, World of Spaceships.
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
Boom. That's Star Citizen.
Or maybe that's No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what that game's going to be.
We have a couple of those games coming.
This category is horror/survival.
Spooky games. Mm.
Spookies.
Number one is Dying Light.
Sure.
Justin wasn't sure what that was. Zombie parkour game from Japan.
Yeah, it had a good showing at E3. It had a solid showing at the VGXs.
I played it. It's Mirror's Edge meets Left 4 Dead, which made me really happy.
It's a great log line.
Now, how'd you feel about Dead Island?
It's fine, but this appeals to me a little. Dying Light appeals to me
Techland
a little.
Techland also did another Polish company, so Dying Light. Yeah, the Poles are at the top of two polls. Techland also did Kala Juarez Gunslinger.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is sort of like
very
a secret,
underrated,
really interesting game.
Yeah,
like the way
sure.
it frames its story, the way it handles narration, it's kind of like Bastion.
Yeah.
So I hope like they do more kind of wacky stuff.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the first 15 minutes of that game that Mitch
and I did
on
YouTube. Is that where you do
your accent? Yeah, it goes a little off the rails, but
also that game has one of the weirdest like sort of twist endings ever.
Spoil it.
Only $15.
Can I spoil it?
Spoil it, but spoilers for Kalafara's Gunslinger.
Listening. So the whole time you're in the game, you're talking to people in a bar and telling them a story, and one of the guys in the corner is named Dwight. And at the end of it, he leaves, and it turns out it's Dwight Eisenhower.
Why? Why is it Eisenhower?
What does it matter? It's like the same thing at the Conduit 2, where like all the presidents came back and like, landed guns. Shyamalan twist right there.
Interesting.
Yeah, Dying Light is followed by The Evil Within.
Yep.
And then DayZ's standalone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Evil Within, I'm excited for that. There's going to be cool horror games next year. There's going to be stuff like Outlast and Amnesia that kind of...
And I've got to figure, I don't know if it would come out in 2014, but I've got to figure... A Resident Evil 7 or Resident Evil reboot is gonna get announced.
Yeah, I mean, Capcom has to be working on something.
A Resident Evil reboot would be.
That'd be really
could
cool.
be really good.
Reboot.
Yep.
Yeah, I get remake.
Yeah, so, we did it.
Yeah,
we did it. Did we have everybody gone to the Rapture on that list? The new game from the Chinese Room.
No,
it's not on here.
That's the interesting game. It's coming to PS4. The guys who did Dear Esther. It's kind of game where you're just in a world it's about to end.
I had a cool teaser.
Yeah.
On the fighting game list. There's new Super Smash Brothers, and then just everything else.
So some of the names of these fighting games: Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution, BlazBlue Chrono Phantasma, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All Star Battle.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Those all sound delicious.
Well, these guys need to work on being more succinct.
Yeah.
But the RPG list was even funnier.
The number two game is Dragon Ball Z Battle of Z. That's beating Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, that surprised me too. I expected Street Fighter.
I think people have just played Street Fighter 4 enough. They're ready for 5.
There hasn't been any Dragon Ball Z games.
That's true. Those fans could never have enough, though.
It's funny how like some games, like there's a Street Fighter every year, right? But when Street Fighter 5 is announced, I'll still be like, boo! Like, for some reason, it'll still really surprise me.
I think 5 is sooner than we think.
I feel the same way about Resident Evil. Like, when Resident Evil, would it be 7?
7, yeah.
When Resident Evil 7 is announced, like, I'll be really surprised, even though obviously there's like a new Resident Evil coming.
Well, it's the same thing like with Fallout 4 this exactly, week, right? Sure. Same deal.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Do you guys know what's at the top of the racing games list?
The crew?
Forza Horizon 2?
Mario Kart 8.
Oh, that's not
that
surprising.
That was the obvious answer.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Yeah, Mario Kart, followed by Drive Club, then the crew.
Okay.
By the way, Forza Horizon 2, not an announced thing, but another one of those where it's going
to
happen.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that it was interesting to me when I ran this poll. One of the things I was most interested to see was whether the crew or Drive Club was getting more hype. And so was it even
close? Drive Club.
Yeah, but they are very close. So
pretty close.
Yeah. Interest among those two.
I keep waiting for Criterion to make Burnout versus Road Rash, bring them both back at the same time.
Yeah, I could handle that. Happening.
I had a dream when I was, God, how old would I be?
This is getting weird.
I was like 13, and I had a dream that I got Road Rash. And then I woke up.
Like the actual Road Rash?
Sega Genesis. Oh, nice. No, I didn't get a Road Rash. I got the game Road Rash 2.
And riding through the barn.
I had, like,
cows.
It was one of those deals where it was, like, so vivid. And I'm like, oh, and then I woke up and ran downstairs because apparently I don't know how dreams work.
Did you ever actually get the game?
I eventually saved and like bought it with like allowance money or something. But I was I have like this moment of like palpable disappointment when it like wasn't there. Like it was really sad and weird.
All right, platformers dominated by Nintendo stuff. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze number one. Yoshi's New Island. And then there's Rayman Legends for PS4 and Xbox One.
Nice. Yeah.
It's going to be a gorgeous game on next gen.
Yeah, Donkey Kong is coming soon. That's coming. I got to play it a few days ago.
February.
Yeah, February 19th.
Got that Cranky Kong.
Got Cranky Kong.
It's sending it over the top.
Yeah.
These last two lists are a little, there's a strategy slim slash tactics.
Sim.
Woo. Yeah, The Sims 4, and then just everything else.
Yeah.
Like Total War Arena, Tropico 5.
People are hyped about that Tropico 5. I love the Tropico game so much. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've never played.
Well, clearly plenty of people do. We're up to 5 of them.
Yeah. Tropico 3 and 4, I 100%ed. I get put like 40 hours into each one doing single scenario.
I'm just surprised people still play The Sims. Like,
yeah.
It was at one point genuinely like the biggest game in the world.
Sure. That was a while ago.
Yeah. It was.
Well, and they've gotten into this Sim cycle where they never stop. It's like, you know, game, expansion, sure. Then sequel. Like, there's never a break between, like, you know, you can get your Sims fix all the time now.
Yeah. Finally, in the puzzle category, The Witness.
Yeah.
Jonathan Blow's The Witness.
Tough to argue with that.
Number one. Yeah.
It's going
to
be incredible. I hope.
Yeah. Followed by Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fancy.
And then Cube Director's Cut. I don't know what that is.
Wii U puzzle game.
Yeah. So not a lot of puzzle games.
There's one game that we didn't talk about that I'm really excited about.
Which one?
Transistor.
Yeah. It was on the strategy.
Oh, it was.
Strategy sim.
So,
you know, that game, I'd watched the trailers, and I feel like I'd even read your preview. That's turn-based. Like, it's pause combat. I didn't know it wasn't like Bastion.
You choose when to pause it.
But I thought you paused and put in actions and unpause, and then those actions would happen.
You do that, but when you unpause, everything else freezes and you do everything. But you can also run around and just hack and slash at your will.
Because I totally missed like that whole side, like that tactical side of
this
game.
It's a tough battle system to explain, but 10 minutes with it, you immediately understand it.
Yeah, that game is shit hot.
Yeah.
Well, apparently only 7% of our readers.
But that's actually not terrible for like... It's just not as high profile. Yeah. Like,
We're just going to do cover stories every day.
It's a lot more than Super Time Force.
Yeah, that's true. You guys are disappointing.
7% of IGN responders in this poll is still like a billion people.
Yeah. So, Damon, what are you personally most excited
about? I was just thinking about that.
Well.
Gosh, I don't know. Titanfall is like the early one that's coming.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty sure that Tomb Raider 2 will be announced.
Yeah.
I don't think it might not come out next year, but
I'll
definitely be anticipating that one.
Yeah.
Anticipating that announcement.
Is anyone here still holding their breath for The Last Guardian?
Nope.
No, I don't.
I don't think they got
that's why I have asthma.
Yeah.
Keep holding that breath. Yeah.
That's not how asthma works. That's
absolutely how asthma works.
If you just keep holding your breath, you get it?
Nope.
What about you three? Do you have a most anticipated game next year?
It would probably go... Titanfall 1, just because, A, I've played it, and B, it is, as you said, right around the corner. Yeah. And I know, what I played is amazing. And then in South Park after that, just because,
They're right around the same. They're the same
right around the corner, March. And then after that, it definitely goes to Destiny for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for everything you just said. If I'm looking at little guys, I'm thinking of stuff like The Witness below. Yeah. The other capybara game.
Below's going to be great.
Yeah. Even Lightning Returns I'm excited for. The little guys. Lightning.
Halo would be on my list after those games.
If you knew.
But the thing is...
If you knew if they had ponchos or not.
That, as
secret
well
ponchos.
As, like, I mean,
secret ponchos.
Halo has traditionally gone on 3-year cycles, and it's served the series well, and this, yeah. this would, they've said 2014, so if it's 2 years, like, on a new platform, like, is that, I hope that's enough time, I mean.
Are you playing that Halo Spartan Assault?
You will see a preview on IGN very shortly, a video preview.
Is it not out yet? I thought it was out now.
It's Christmas Eve for Xbox One and January for the 360.
Yeah, it's been out on Surface for a while.
Yeah, but now it's on a platform where you actually would want to play it.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Let's be real here, people.
Yes, this is the sponsor.
Play us out.
I'm most anticipated for Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. I forgot that it's my most anticipated game.
I'm a little...
It's a bad sign.
Like, the delay, I hope it's good news. Delays can be one of two things. It's like, holy crap, this we need to fix this broken game, or it's just like, hey, we have something that we know is good, let's make it great.
Yeah.
So depending on which kind of delay it is, sure. we'll see how the finished product is. But I really, really think that game, the gameplay looks fun, but even besides that, just the social message it has, I think it's hitting at like an incredibly timely time.
Yeah, every day we hear about more NSA surveillance stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's just crazy. And like, you know, not that games need to be like too super political, but I just feel like they must have started work on that years ago. And to be able to understand like this is something that's going to be relevant and interesting in, you know, 2013, 2014. Yeah. And like,
what if the NSA is watching you through Watch Dogs? Wouldn't that be
my
like,
goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Next trillion.
I'd throw up.
Throw up?
Yeah, that was deep.
All right, before Marty throws up, we're going to cut this episode short, but stay tuned. We'll be talking a lot more about all these games.
That table is...
here on IGN GamesCube.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit patterns?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.